On January 1st of every year, each one of us, you and I, are given a gift. And the gift that you and I are given, that the universe gives to each one of us, is 525,600 brand new, unopened, unlived minutes. And you and I get to choose what we're going to do with them. And we can either use them and give glory to the divine and lift up our thoughts and go for our dreams. Or you can choose to snooze through them. You know, sitting in front of the TV, worrying, filling your life with anger and living in fear and judgment and resentment. You can wake up every single day and say, wow, this is the best day of my life. Say that with me. Wow, this is the best day of my life. Something wonderful is going to happen to me today. Something wonderful is going to happen to me today. And when you do that, you create an opening for spirit to work in and through you and in and through your life. Now, every time I do a memorial service, I'm very keenly aware of the fact that not everybody in this room is going to get all 525,600 minutes this year. We're just not. And we don't know who is and who isn't. So we really don't have 525,600 moments. We have one moment. You and I have one moment, and it's right now. It's this now moment. And I'm very excited about the opportunities that are before us, aren't you? I mean, you are on the verge. You're getting ready to decide who your next senior minister is going to be, and that's an exciting place to be. And I'm here this weekend to kind of see if maybe this is the relationship that we might enter into. And I have to tell you, I'm very excited about it. Hope you are. And I'm also very excited about what unity has to offer. You know, it's a great way of life, and I call it a way of life because it's a philosophy that invites us into a deeper relationship with the divine presence. And we live in a sea of infinite potential. We're swimming in it. And there is an unlimited number of possibilities that are available to us right now. This is a great time to be alive on planet Earth. Don't you agree? Don't you feel something moving, something stirring in your life and on this planet? You know, there's a divine plan that's unfolding, and it's way bigger than any one of us. And it's inviting us to wake up. It's inviting us to love. It's inviting us to do the right thing. What we know in our heart is the right thing to do. And there's an inner knowing that we can't wait any longer. The moment is now. And the way to tap into this divine plan that's unfolding before us is to go into prayer and to ask God for guidance. You know, trust God to guide and direct your life. And to be able to ask, as we're in prayer, God, what is your vision for my life? You know, how do you see my life unfolding? And we began to ask those questions in the workshop yesterday. And to also then take that another step further and say, God, what is your magnificent vision for this spiritual community? And then as we deeply listen, moving beyond just setting goals, we begin to also ask, what must I become? And when we know that what we are to become, then spirit can move in you and me and us and in this church in a beautiful, beautiful way. And then beyond just listening and asking, what am I to become? We always have to ask, what do I have to let go of? What do I have to release from my life? I don't know how many of you have realized that, you know, when you're setting goals or intentions, there are some old patterns, some old attitudes, some old stinking thinking that you got to let go of. You've got to release it. Or maybe you've learned your lessons, what I call the cosmic 2x4 approach to life. You just kind of turn and you're ducking all the time from those experiences that come at you and challenges in life until it hurts so bad you say, duh, I think I will try something different. Sort of like the guy who goes into the bank and he has a check he wants to cash. And he walks and he puts the check on the counter. And the teller says, sir, you need to endorse the check. And he says, I'm not signing that check and giving you the check. You might keep the check and I might not get my money. And the teller says, well, I'm sorry, sir, but you have to endorse the check. That's the way it works. He said, I'm not signing that check and giving it to you. You might keep my money. And she said, well, then, sir, you might have to go to another bank. And so he goes to another bank, same thing, goes to another bank, same thing. He's finally on his way into the fourth bank. And he's got a bit of an attitude at this point. He slams the check down the counter and he says, give me my money. And the teller pulls out a big club, hits him over the head. And he kind of gets up, he's dazed, he's got stars in his eyes, and he signs the check. She gives him his money, he takes his money, he runs back to the first bank, and he says, you see, I got my money. And she said, well, yeah, but you had to sign the check. And he goes, well, yeah, but, you know, she had a way of explaining it. We laugh, but many of us learn our lessons this way. And we go into a new job and we say, I will commit 100% when they pay me what I'm worth. Or we'll go into a relationship and we say, I'll forgive when they change. Yeah. But there's spiritual principles that work in the universe all the time. Our life is filled with spiritual principles, and it's a good idea to get to know them and how they work, because they work all the time. And the one basic spiritual principle is, as we give, what? We receive. But we get that kind of backwards, don't we? That when we say, when I receive, then I'll give. When I receive, then I'll tithe. When I receive, then I'll sign the check. But that's not how it works. We have to set the intention, make the commitment, and catch the vision first. The first thing that we have to do. And Spirit is constantly asking us to go further, to go a little deeper, to really understand that we are a spiritual being. We're not just a human being. You might think that. But we are a spiritual being that has, as the Hopi Indians call it, an earth suit. So we have a human body, but we are a spiritual being living in a spiritual universe governed by spiritual principle or spiritual law. And until we understand that, and until we surrender 100% to the infinite love intelligence of the universe, life will be difficult. Now, is that to say that all you have to do is surrender to God and all will be well, there'll be no more problems in your life? I wish I could say yes, but that's not what I'm talking about. When we surrender, what we will have is the awareness of that one presence and one power guiding us, supporting us all the time. And isn't that a good thing? Wouldn't you like to know that and remember that? You know, as Reverend Christina keeps saying, you know, remember. And I love in her prayers, we remember. And that's what we're all about, remembering who we are. One of my favorite authors is Emmett Fox. How many of you familiar with Emmett Fox? Oh, good. A lot of you are. You probably know him through the Sermon on the Mount or his little booklet, Golden Key. He was a minister of a large church in New York City. I think he's one of the greatest. He's up there with Eric Butterworth, as far as I'm concerned, as being one of the greatest New Thought writers. But one time, some of his students went to Emmett and they said, Emmett, when are you going to get to the advanced material? I hear it sometimes as, when are you going to get to the deeper stuff? And I love Emmett's response. He said, there are two things you need to know in order to move through Earth School. Two things. And in the 35 plus years I've been in New Thought and in the almost 20 years now as an ordained Unity minister, I absolutely agree with Emmett on these two points. Would you like to know what they are? Two things to know in order to move through Earth School. The first thing is the omnipresence of God. You need to know the omnipresence of God. Second thing is you need to know about the formative power of your thoughts. Two things in order to move through this earth life experience. And so let's talk about these two things for a few moments. The omnipresence of God, it's our core foundation in unity. There's only one presence. You probably can say it with me, right? There's only one presence and one power in this universe and in my life, God. It's our first basic unity principle. But it's also the first principle that goes out the window when you get in a bind, isn't it? First thing that God just goes. You go into this amnesic state, you know, and we forget that there's one presence and one power. You know, because we want to find somebody to blame. We want to know whose fault is it, right? And we always want to point fingers at somebody or something outside of ourselves. Rather than going within and asking the infinite presence of the universe, that one presence and one power, for a new and better solution to whatever challenge is before you. Yeah, there's one presence, one power in this universe. And I hope you know by now, being in unity and attending a unity church, that there is no devil out there that makes you do it. You've got to give that one up. You know, because we don't live in a biverse, because that's believing in two powers. We don't live in a biverse or a multiverse. We live in a universe. One presence, one power. God, all loving, all good, all powerful, all knowing, everywhere. Present, one presence. And so I just invite you to bask in the knowing that if you're brushing your teeth, if you're driving your kids to school, if you're standing online in the grocery store, if you're going for a job interview, there's the presence, infinite loving intelligence presence, the one presence and one power of the universe is there before you, behind you, beneath you, above you, within you, and all around you. There's no place that God is not. I wanted to share with you a personal story of the moment I really deeply understood the omnipresence of God. It was several months before I was graduating from ministerial school in 1990. My prayer was, God, I want to know your presence. I want to have a deep, intimate experience with you so that when I go out and have my first church, I know and lead people on a spiritual journey, I know your presence and I can teach from that absolute inner knowing. Well, be careful what you pray for. Because a month before I was graduating, Bill and I are driving in our cars, and we were going to an appointment, and we were in two separate cars. He was going on to work, and I was coming back home after the appointment. And I just, a little side note, I have a lot of my major spiritual experiences in my car. But I want to put a disclaimer that I'm always alone. So if you ever find yourself in a car with me, you don't have to worry. But we're driving down this back road at Unity Village, and they had just retarred it. You know when they retar, it's a real slick, oily surface, and then there's this drizzle like you have here, and it made the road really, really slick. And so we're going down this little road, and at the bottom there's a little curve, and I'm going first, Bill's following me. Well, as I go do the curve, my car starts to skid, and I do the one thing that they tell you not to do. Put on the brake. So I slam on my brake. My front wheels stop. My rear wheels keep going, and it puts me in a spin, and I'm kind of spinning and hydroplaning down the road. Now, Bill's watching this, and luckily no cars are coming, and my car ends up on the opposite side, facing the opposite direction than we were going. The passenger wheels kind of catch the edge of the road, and my car starts to my wheels start to come off the ground. And I realize, oh my goodness, I'm going to roll this car down the embankment into the cow pasture beneath. And so my car is up like this. My wheels, I'm up like, my car's like this, sideways. Yeah. And any of you have ever had a near-death experience, but my consciousness pulled back to this teeny, teeny, teeny pinprick point of light. And I was hanging out in this incredible cocoon of light and love and peace, and it was absolutely glorious until I hear this voice, turn the car off! And Bill's running down the hill, and I ended up on the roof of the car with my wheels in the air. And he's just seeing the car blowing up, and I get the car off, I undo the belt, I drop to the roof of the car, and there's glass all over. I mean, it was just a mess. And it was a car that you could fold down the back seats, and I climbed out. And Bill had the key to the trunk, and so I was able to climb out the trunk. When I get out this little deserted road, there was about 100 people all of a sudden showed up. One of them being, I was working in the prayer room at Silent Unity, and one of them was my manager, night manager at the prayer room, so I knew that I would get lots of prayer. And there was this policeman running down the hill, and he stops and he looks at me, he looks at the car, he looks at me, he looks at the car, he looks at me, and he said, "You are a miracle." And I looked at him and I said, "Yes, I am a miracle. I had not one scratch, bump, or black and blue mark. Not even from the seatbelt impact of rolling a car." And so in that moment, I knew, I absolutely knew the omnipresence of God. And I knew that no matter what happened, there was absolutely nothing in the world that was greater than the infinite love intelligence that was within me. Now, my prayer for you is that you have an experience, not quite as dramatic as that, but that you have an experience in some way that you really know that presence within you. Second thing we need to know in order to move through this earth life experience is about the formative power of our thoughts. That what we think about, we become, that our deeply held beliefs manifest as our experiences, we become what we think about all day long. It's our third basic unity principle. Henry Ford once said, "Say you can or say you can't, you're right." Think you can, think you can't, and you are absolutely right. We are constantly stating our position to the universe. You know, and we're doing it unconsciously. We're not even knowing that we're doing it. And so our life manifests according to our beliefs. Not what we deserve, but what we believe, what we think about, what we talk about. Listen to what you're saying and talking to other people about. You know, and the great intention to set is to be very aware and very conscious of our thoughts. And, you know, what we're hanging on to, the thoughts that we're thinking. And don't get hard on yourself or don't beat up on yourself. Just notice. Just the awareness. Be aware of what the negative thoughts, the negative or unlimited thoughts that you're thinking. And know that you have the power to change that. The Apostle Paul said, be transformed every single day. Every moment of your life by the renewing of your mind. And so change your thoughts, change your life. You know, what you focus on, you attract more of. And know that you can declare what you want your experiences to be. Paramahansa Yogananda once said that we meditate so that we can be effective and functional in the world. And so one way that we can work with our thoughts is through meditation, to be really prayed up and to really be good at listening. You know, we're not really good. We have all this noise that surrounds us, and we're not real good at listening, but to get really good at listening to that still small voice within guiding you. And then after hearing that voice, surrendering and giving God a little room to work in your life, and then acting on the guidance that you receive. You know, what is Spirit asking you to do? And being able to really come back into the world after the meditation, your meditative time, and be able to really fulfill your vision, that God's vision for your life. And you won't know what that vision is unless you're quiet and listen. You know, you can pray and go to the mountaintop, but that's not why we pray. We go to the mountaintop so we can come back into the world and be truly helpful. Jesus was constantly going off to pray, constantly going to the mountaintop, but he did so he could come back into the world and fulfill his vision. And he didn't stand on the mountaintop and say, "Well, Bev, I'll just pray for you, you know, or, you know, I'll just pray from up here for you down there." No, he prayed. He caught a vision. He was vibrating with Spirit, and then he came back into the world to be truly, truly helpful. Millard Fuller, he and his wife had a very successful business, and they traveled the world over. And they would travel and see all the poverty that existed, that people living in huts and awful houses, some in no houses at all. And they caught a vision. They saw the problem, but they caught a vision. And they declared that everyone in the world could live in wonderful housing. They caught a vision. And what a big vision that is. But in a little over 20 years, over 700,000 people now live in wonderful houses built by Habitat for Humanity. You see, catch a vision. You don't focus on the problem. You catch the vision, you see the problem, and then you go to spirit and you say, okay, what's the bigger vision here? You know, the problem invites you into a greater vision. I had a young man in my congregation from Malawi, and he was going to go on to law school. He was at Georgia State University. He was a 26-year-old man, young adult. And but he decided not to stay and go on to law school, but to go back to Malawi to work with his people. Malawi's a skinny little country. Madonna adopts her kids from there. And she kind of put it on the map because it's a little very, very poor. In the southern point of Malawi, the average annual income is $762. It's a very, very poor country. And so here Joseph sees what he can have in Atlanta, and he gives it all up to go back to Malawi. And I said, what can we do to help you? I thought he'd ask for money. But he said, send clothes. My people have no clothes. They walk around half naked. So we collected clothes, and he had to rent a U-Haul trailer truck to be able to get clothes to his container. And then I said, what else can we do? We saw a problem. We said, what else can we do? And he said, wells. Our people would love water, you know, to have water. 3 months a year it rains. The other 9 months is a drought. They starve. So a few weeks later, when he gets back to Malawi, he calls me. He says, Ambassador Andrew Young. You know who Ambassador Andrew Young is? He was ambassador under Jimmy Carter to the United Nations. He was a key top aide for Martin Luther King Jr. in the Civil Rights Movement. He was mayor of Atlanta, a former congressman. He was helping Joseph get a business going so he could support himself and help do his humanitarian work. He said, Ambassador Young will come speak. So August of 2009, we had Ambassador Young. In the middle of the summer, in the middle of a recession, and the economic challenges, we raised over $15,000 in one afternoon, and we were able to build two wells in Malawi. At the end of the year, when I was leaving Unity North Atlanta, Joseph, who now calls me Mom, he emails, he goes, hey, Mom, it's Joseph, your son here. And he said, why don't you just start a nonprofit? Help me build a school, an orphanage, and a clinic. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that. But you see a need, you see a problem, and you go to spirit and say, what's the greater vision? June 29th, I got my incorporation papers for Love Malawi. Where that's going to go, I don't know, but I obey. Spirit says, do this, and I go. You see the need, you catch the vision, and you move and ask what the greater vision is. There's a great story about Larry Walters. He lived in Southern California. And he got in the evening news one night, and he was doing something amazing, not real smart, but amazing. I love this story. He wanted to fly, but he didn't have the money to take flying lessons. His eyes weren't good enough to be able to go into the Air Force. So he lived in the pathway of the L.A. airport. And he would sit out in his backyard in Los Angeles in an aluminum lawn chair. And he would look up and watch the planes flying overhead until one day he had an idea. He went out and he bought 45 surplus weather balloons. He filled them with helium. And he attached them to his aluminum lawn chair. I kid you not. This is a real story. You can Google him. Larry Walters. He strapped on a six-pack of beer. The essentials, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, a parachute, and a BB gun, just in case his plans didn't go as planned and perfectly, he had a way to get back down. And so when he unattached the straps that was holding his chair down, you know, he thought he would go about 30 feet in the air, and he would have a pretty nice view. But what happened was he went over 15,000 feet straight up. Right into the oncoming traffic of LAX. Now, I would have loved to have been in the air traffic control room that day when they found the little blip on the radar and they said to the pilots, what are you seeing out there? But they got Larry down and he was being interviewed and they said, Larry, why did you do it? And Larry simply said, you can't just sit there. Isn't that a great line? You can't just sit there. And so every one of us needs a little bit of Larry Walters in us. to be able to just say you can't sit there. You know, because it's really easy to look out at the world today, isn't it, and say things aren't very good. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to help. I'll just sit here. But we all have a little bit of Larry Walters in us when we say, I can do something. I can pray. I can catch a greater vision. I can make a difference in the world. And Larry Walters, in his own unique and wonderful way, opened up a whole world of possibilities to us. You just can't sit there. And so remember, there's an omnipresence of God that is everywhere present. It's greater than anything in the world. It is. There's no time or place that God is not. And this omnipresent spirit that is everywhere present is pushing you to go for your dream, to catch that greater vision, and to do something. Second thing, remember, is that you can change your life. You can. You have the power within you to change your thoughts, to change your life, to call every experience in your life through the formative power of your thoughts. So I'd like to end with this story. It's from the Bible, from Matthew, the New Testament. You're probably very familiar with this story. Peter is in a boat with the other disciples, and a storm comes up. And, of course, Jesus is not there. He's off praying again. And the disciples are going, he doesn't care about us. Whenever we need him, he always disappears. And where is he? And, you know, we're going to die. And, you know, humma, humma, humma. When all of a sudden they look up and they see somebody walking towards them on the water. And Peter, who metaphysically represents the power of faith in us, it's Peter who says, Christ, if is that you? If it is, call to me. Call to me. And then Peter steps out of the boat and he begins to walk on water. Now, can you just hear the other 11 disciples back in the boat going, who does he think he is? Look what he's trying to do. He's crazy. He's going to drown. Now, maybe you heard that when you started going for your dream. Or maybe you heard it when you saw other people going for their dream. But Peter's making it. He's walking. He's really walking on the water until he sees the water lapping at his feet and he begins to see life going on around him. And he takes his eyes off of the divine possibility, off of the vision. And he looks down and he begins to sink. And he cries out, Lord, Lord, and a hand pulls him up. You get to choose. Are you going to be one of the 11 that stays in the boat? It's safe in the boat. If you get out, you may just sink. But Peter has an experience that the other 11 don't have. And that experience is available to you and I when we say, I can't just sit here. And the experience that Peter has that the other 11 don't have is he has the experience of doing something he never, ever thought was possible. Now, when you stumble and when you fall, and you will know the grace of being lifted up as you step out of the boat and go for your dream. And I don't know about you. I don't want to be safe in that boat. I want that experience. I want the thrill that Peter had of going for it. You and I have 169,920 minutes left this year. As of today, 169,920 moments. How are you going to use them? Are you going to step out of the boat? Are you going to go for your dream? Or are you going to snooze through those moments, watching life happen around you and watching other people go for their dream, staying safe inside the boat? I encourage you, go for it. Go for it. If not you, then who? And if not now, then when? You know, step out of the boat. Make a difference. You can't just sit there. God bless you. It's been a pleasure being here with you this weekend. Namaste. Namaste. Thank you.